You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The warnings about superbug infections and overprescribing antibiotics have been getting stronger and louder in recent years. Yet, it's still happening, and we are seeing people dying from infections that are caused by these so-called superbugs. The Centers for Disease Control, for example, are telling us that every year, 75,000 Americans with hospital-acquired infections are dying while they're in the hospital. Well, let's just talk about overprescription and about resistant bacteria as we welcome Dr. Scott Flanders. He's an internal medicine professor and the director of the hospitalist program at the University of Michigan. That term hospitalist is kind of a newer thing that people might not always know what that means. So what do you do as a hospitalist?
Right. Well, a hospitalist is a physician that limits his or her practice to the care of hospitalized patients. Hospitalists do not have a clinic where they see patients as outpatients, but instead take over the care of those patients when they require hospitalization.
And certainly this is an issue that has rooted itself in the hallways of American hospitals or worldwide hospitals,
Absolutely. Really.
What is a superbug? We're going to start right at, 101.
Superbugs are bacteria that have developed resistance to many of the common antibiotics that we use to fight them. And in the worst case scenario, they're bacteria that are resistant to any and all antibiotics that might be available to fight those types of bacteria.
And this is just nature at work, isn't it?
It is. Antibiotic-resistant bacteria occur naturally, but the single largest driver of increasing resistance is the use of antibiotics.
Because?
The more you use antibiotics, the more of the bacteria that exist in your body, on our skin, our mouths, in our intestinal tract, that are not targeted by the antibiotics we get, begin to grow up and survive courses of antibiotics, and you can become colonized with those resistant bacteria at that point.
All right, so let's talk about overprescribing antibiotics. Doctor, it's not a brand new idea. It's not a brand new concern. In fact, I know you co-authored a big paper warning about this in 2014. Where are we today?
Yes. Well, overprescription is unfortunately a very common problem. I think we are making headway with respect to education and work happening on the national front. But if you look at rates of overprescription today, I don't think they are significantly better than they were 2 to 3 years ago.
And what are those rates? What kind of numbers can you tell us?
Well, what we know is unfortunately anywhere from 30 to 50% of the antibiotics that are prescribed in U.S. hospitals are considered to be potentially inappropriate. That rate is not significantly different for patients in the outpatient setting.
That's a big amount.
It is. It is a big amount, and I think it's important to understand why those numbers may be as high as they are.
Why?
The first contributing factor, I would say, is unfortunately, we do not have perfect diagnostic tests that distinguish someone that's infected with a bacteria for someone that may have symptoms that are due to a viral infection, for which antibiotics would not be of any benefit. And so doctors, when faced with a very sick patient, often choose to be cautious, as you would like as a patient, and prescribe antibiotics.
It goes back to realizing that medicine is a science and an art.
Absolutely.
So how is this affecting patients?
Well, unfortunately, I think if antibiotics had no side effects and no bad consequences, we would say it's great to err on the side of safety. Always give antibiotics. Give them for as long as you think the patient may need them. But unfortunately, antibiotics cause a lot of problems. Many antibiotics cause adverse reactions that many patients may be familiar with. Rashes, diarrhea, stomach upset. And in the extreme, you can develop infections such as a common bacteria we refer to as Clostridium difficile or C. diff infections, which are organisms that often live in the intestinal tract that may be resistant to the bacteria, can grow in great numbers when receiving a course of antibiotics, and can cause very serious infections. And in this country alone, over 20,000 people die from infections related to C. diff annually. And the major contributor to C. diff infections in the U.S. is prescription of antibiotics.
And so as a hospitalist, you have to be looking at how do we control this within the setting of the hospital.
Absolutely. And there are several ongoing initiatives right now trying to deal with this problem. I think the first of which is coming up with some strategies that doctors can use in the hospital, acknowledging the fact that they often see very sick patients where you don't want to gamble and be wrong. You don't want to withhold antibiotics when they're sick and risk them dying or having serious consequences for an infection. So our approach has been to acknowledge that fact, let the doctor start the antibiotics. But we're a big fan of what we're calling a 48 to 72 hour timeout, where doctors stop 48 to 72 hours after prescribing an antibiotic and stop and say, have I sent off diagnostic tests that help me differentiate virus from bacteria, non-bacterial infection from bacterial infection? What do those results show? If we haven't found any very serious bacteria, can we narrow the number of antibiotics we're giving a particular patient? Can we adjust the dose of that antibiotic given how the patient is doing? And can we identify an appropriate duration of treatment at that point in time? Actively thinking about how long does this patient need to be treated, setting an appropriate stop time for those antibiotics, and acting on that.
Is there some kind of cross-checking process amongst medical staff, whether it's physicians and nurses, where someone else puts eyes on that chart to take a look and see what's been written, say for me as a patient, and go, you know, I don't know if she needs that.
Yes, absolutely. I think some of our work has focused on a very multidisciplinary approach to it. And one example of that is we've worked pretty closely with our clinical pharmacists in the hospital, who often work very closely with both nurses and physicians to help adjust dosing of medications, make sure antibiotics are the appropriate antibiotic for the type of bacteria, and having them engaged in these timeouts to have a stop point where you sit and discuss, is the dose right? Does the patient have other medications that may interact with that antibiotic that require consideration? That has been a very effective strategy for us at the University of Michigan.
So that's what's happening on the staff level. Let's talk about the patient in that room.
Yes.
Or family members. You've got a sick patient or the family members around the bedside. How are you supposed to react when medications are given based on a physician's orders? I mean, how would we civilians even know whether or not we're getting the right or too many antibiotics?
Yes. Well, I would say the first thing is to be educated about the issue. I think there's a general belief that antibiotics are always a good thing. Never question them. Never need to ask why I'm receiving them, how long I'm receiving them. I think patients need to be educated that there are downsides to antibiotics. Mm-hmm. They may be necessary, but having a conversation with your physician, why am I getting antibiotics? What's being treated and how long do you anticipate my need in antibiotics is a very important question to be asking your provider. I think the other thing is many patients, in our situation, patients often get hospitalized without advanced knowledge they're going to be hospitalized. Many patients end up in the hospital after an elective surgery, for example. Educating yourself prior to that surgery would be a great strategy. Many surgeons prescribe different types of cleansing agents, shampoos, to reduce the amount of bacteria on your skin to prevent an infection. The best way to not have to receive antibiotics is to not get the infection in the first place. Educating yourself, talking with your doctor before you have to go into the hospital is a great strategy. And I'm going to push vaccination too. We see a lot of bacterial infections that result from someone who has had influenza and then perhaps gets a pneumonia after that. And having the influenza vaccination is a great strategy to never find yourself in that situation or reduce the chances of you being in the situation where you'll have a secondary bacterial infection, you know, needing antibiotics.
I want to talk about patient mindset. Within the hospital or out in the community, I can remember taking my now 33-year-old son in for many, many ear infections and expecting to walk out with that piece of paper that told me to go get amoxicillin. What do you want to say about that expectation that I didn't get good care if I don't walk out with a piece of paper to take to the pharmacy?
Yeah, that's a mindset I think that needs to change. Many symptoms that we commonly experience, we all experience, the sore throat, the runny nose, the cough, an overwhelming majority of the time, those are non-bacterial infections that do not need antibiotics. I think the other thing people have to recognize that when you do have an illness like that, symptoms can last for weeks. And many people are frustrated if they're not better in 2 days. They think I need an antibiotic. And if antibiotics were without side effects, you might consider an approach like that just in case there may be a secondary bacterial infection. Odds are it's not. We have pretty good signs and symptoms that suggest when it's bacteria. And if it's not any of those, symptom management is the way to go because of the many side effects associated with antibiotics.
If we don't take these steps, what kind of public health threat do we face in terms of really having something that will not respond to any of the antibiotics we have?
I think that's a very real threat. There's a lot of talk about our being at risk of entering a post-antibiotic era. Many of our patients these days get very significant and immune-suppressing treatments to have organ transplants, to get chemotherapy. Those suppress your immune system, put you at risk for bacterial infections, and it's not uncommon for those patients in particular to need antibiotics to fight those infections, to get them through their chemotherapy, to get them through their organ transplant. And if we do not have effective antibiotics, we can no longer do many of the life-saving treatments that we have today. And I think if we do not pay attention to how we prescribe antibiotics, use them in a reckless and perhaps inappropriate fashion, we will quickly lose the ability to fight many common infections that we do right now. And it would be wonderful if we had the pharmaceutical industry developing new antibiotics day in and day out, but the pipeline of new antibiotics has diminished significantly over the past several years. And so we're not seeing lots of new antibiotics come onto the market, meaning we have to use the ones we have very wisely.
So as the risk is increasing, we're seeing the pipeline drying up.
Correct.
Certainly challenges for all of us for the future, and we want to thank you for sharing your insights with us, Dr. Scott Flanders, who's professor of internal medicine and the director of the hospitalist program at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.